This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech,
it's here.
Source Trunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 17, recorded on the 7th of March 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source applications and give it a little review. With this episode, I will be drinking a Postel Triple, and it's a beer out of the brewery of Affligem as well. The last episode, we had one from that brewery as well. This one is it has got a really fuzzy, shady orange color, a bit golden yellow, and I really don't like my beers too shady. Well, it's not that shady. It's okay. I can still see through it, and I like to see through my beer, so I can see if there are some nasty bits and pieces in it. But this one is pretty clear for a triple. So I must be mistaken. No, this one is pretty clear, not too shady. It has 8.5% alcohol, so it's pretty strong. And the taste. This is good. Normally I don't really like triples, but this one has a powerful body, a little bit of a biscuit taste. This is not bad. Not bad at all. Okay, let's go.
System tools.
Spam assassin. First of all, this is server software. Well, you use it in combination with server software, mail servers, of course. This is one of the best examples of a nice, stable bundle of open source functionality. To cover every feature of this beautiful software would be impossible in a little podcast like this, but I will do this software injustice, I know, upfront, but I rather describe it as I can than don't describe it at all, so please bear with me. I'll give you the definition of email spam according to Wikipedia. Quote, email spam is a subset of spam that involves sending nearly identical messages to numerous recipients by email. Nothing really wrong just there. Most definitions of spam are based on the email being unsolicited bulk email. That is, spam is email that is both unsolicited by the recipients, and there are many substantively similar emails being sent. Spam is usually also unwanted, commercial, and sent by automated means, and some definitions include those aspects. End quote. Okay, so the growth of spam is just enormous. In February of this year, 90 billion spam email is sent out every day. That is about 80% of incoming mail. And a lot of people don't know this, but sending spam violates the acceptable use policy, the AUP of almost all internet service providers, and still spam gets to us. You have spam and spam techniques in different ways. Too much to describe in this podcast as well. But some ways to spread spam is, for example, the use of open relays. A lot of mail servers were open relays. That means that you can use the mail server to send mail through, not for that company, for the company to whom the mail server belongs, but to another mail server. That is an open relay, so you could abuse a mail server and just send spam through that mail server to other companies and other recipients. Most mail servers are no longer open relays. Only the persons behind the firewall, only the people in the company can use that mail server to spread mail. That mail server can only be used also to accept mail for the people in the company, to keep it simple. Nowadays, most open relays are closed, but there are still a lot of open relays out in the wild. You have Windows boxes who act as zombies. You have a lot of Windows machines who are taken over by malicious software, by viruses, malware. And those zombies will send out spam to other people, to other mail servers. You have webmail servers like Hotmail, for example, who are misused to send a lot of spam to a lot of people. So there's not really a lot we can do against spam, except filtering. Now, where does the name spam come from? Spam is a popular Monty Python sketch. It was broadcasted in 1970. I hope you know Monty Python. And the sketch goes on about a couple that goes into a restaurant and they are being served and they ask what is on the menu. And the menu consists out of all items filled with spam. You have eggs and spam, bacon and spam, 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 and eggs and spam, and all sorts of things, all with spam in it. So if you want it or not, you will get spam. And that is the complete idea of unsolicited mail. If you want it or not, you will get spam on your plate. I'm just going to play a little piece of that sketch, which is really hilarious.
Morning. What you got then?
Well, there's egg and bacon. Egg, sausage and bacon, egg and spam, egg, bacon and spam, egg, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, egg, spam, spam, bacon and spam, 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 egg and spam, 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 baked beans, spam, spam, spam and spam, oh, lobster, thermidor, crevettes with a mayonnaise sauce, garnished with truffle pate brandy and a fried on top and spam.
Have you got anything without spam in it?
Well, spam, egg, sausage and spam. It's not got much spam in it.
I don't want any spam.
Why can't you have egg, bacon, spam and sausage?
That's got spam in it.
Not as much as spam, egg, sausage and spam.
Look, could I have egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't like spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
Now, how annoying can spam be anyway? Well, if you manually filter spam out of your inbox, out of your mailbox, well, then just count every second, minute you spend on filtering spam. Normally, it would amount to a lot of time in 1 year. It could even take a whole day. That's a day completely gone to waste. For some people, it's an everyday work to clean out their mailbox. So this is really annoying. For example, for me, I get a lot of spam in my personal mailbox and I get warned by a little sound that I receive personal mail. And every time I hear the sound, I go like, oh yeah, there's mail. And then I check and it's spam. That's minutes gone completely to waste. This is costing me precious time. So with this podcast, I would like to take the opportunity to say a few direct words to the companies and individual spammers out there. Yes, you sirs, you, senders of spam, you are a bunch of f- who should stay the f- out of my f- mailbox. I've got enough mail as it is. Now, since swearing at them is not going to make any difference at all, let's install a spam filter on our mail server, shall we? First, a little explanation about the program. Spam Assassin is a Perl-based application. It will filter all incoming mail for all users who want to use the application. You can use it as a complete standalone application, the application Spam Assassin, or you can use it as a client, Spam C client, that connects to your SpamD server. The combination of SpamC and SpamD has slight performance benefits. Now, Spam Assassin also has a very good API, so an application programming interface, so that you can integrate it very easily into your mail flow if you know how to program. Otherwise, there's a lot you can do with a little procmail to make it easy on yourself. To explain a bit more, procmail is a little mail processing utility, and it will process your mail before it will deliver it. So with procmail, you can first send your incoming mail through Spam Assassin to let it determine if it is spam or not. That's a common way to do things if you're only filtering for yourself or for a light mail server. Now, how does Spam Assassin determine if a mail is spam? What it will do is it will run a set of local tests on it. It will parse the email header and the email body. So in the email header, there's a lot of information about the whereabouts of the mail, where it came from, which client it has sent, and the body. For that is simple. The body is just the thing you see in your mail. You can, if you want to, in your mail clients, ask to show all headers, and then you will see all the header information. Now, Spam Assassin will search for certain regular expressions. It will give scores according to the match of a regular expression. For example, it will test if the DNS resolve, if it resolves back to real mail server. That gives a certain score to the mail. Is this mail about drugs? Well, if it is about drugs, just add a little score. Is the mail body in all capitals? Well, then just give it a little notch, give it a little score. Is the mail dated in the future? For example, hell yeah, give it an enormous score. So after it has performed all those tests, it will count all the scores it gave that mail. And if the total amount of the scores is higher than the required score you set in the Spam Assassin configuration file, then it will be marked as spam. Only marked? Yes, it will only be marked as spam, and this is very important. Spam Assassin will not delete or move your mail in any way. It will only, in the header, add a few variables like X spam flag is yes, X spam status is yes, the score is 3.3 and required score was 3.0. So I'll get back on this. Then you can have other software process all the mail that is marked spam and do whatever you want with it. I'll get back to that as well. That is for the local tests, so it can perform some local tests, but more specifically and more to be in effect, it will do some network testing as well. It will contact the network to do some really, really sophisticated tests on that specific mail. The first one is the DNSBL tests. That's the DNS-based black hole lists. What this will do is it will do a sort of DNS lookup against a blacklist to check if the sender of the mail is listed in that blacklist. It's just like a normal DNS lookup, but instead of looking up the IP address of a host, it will look up if that host is on a spam blacklist. And if it is, the score will go up enormously. Then you have a second test that is the SURBL, that's the spam URI real-time block lists, and this will search the message body for uniform resource identifiers. It will just search the body for a URL that is normally used in spam messages, that is well known to be used in spam messages. For example, www.getrichquick.com is, I think, very apt to be marked as spam. So the spam URI real-time block lists will add a little score to the spam score. Then you have the third method of checking real time with servers, and this is a method before I even knew about it and I was reading about spam. I was thinking, well, this could be a way to do stuff, really, and it appeared that they are already doing it, of course, and that's the DCC, and that's a distributed checksum clearinghouse. Now, in my opinion, this is one of the best methods. What it does? Well, when a mail server marks a mail spam, it can post the checksum of the mail. So the checksum is the result of an algorithm in which way you can determine if a text is that text you're talking about. So a little tag on the mail. And it will post the checksum on a server. And another mail server can check the distributed checksum clearinghouse if that spam mail is really spam. So to make it really simple, a mail server just yells to the central database, hey, this mail here, I've got this mail and this one is spam. And another mail server just has to ask the repository, is this mail spam? Very easy. This is really very easy. And it goes very, very fast. Then you've got Vipul's Razor And that is about the same as DCC, but more based on user collaboration. So mostly email clients will use Razor, and Spam Assassin will use Razor as well. Then you have Hashcash, and that is a method of putting a textual stamp to the header of the mail. And this is not so complicated, but it's really a nice concept. It will stamp in the mail header how much time the computer's CPU needed to make and send the mail. So in other words, normally if you would make a mail, that would take considerably some time of your CPU to do this. You move the mouse, you type some text, you move your window, so that takes some time. If a automated process would be sending mail, that would really, really amount to not so much CPU time per mail. And so this Hashcash header field would be very, very low. And it's a bit complicated, but you have to, because the receiver of the mail has to check if that Hashcash is valid or not. So I didn't really dig into this really deep, but the concept is really nice. And then as a last one, before I lose everything and everyone in this episode, is the Sender Policy Framework. And this also, in my opinion, can be one of the best methods to block spam. Because if you know something about SMTP mail servers, you know that it's very easy to forge from addresses. It doesn't have to be true. You can send a mail in the name of bill.gates@microsoft.com and so on and so on. You can completely forge the domain and it will still be routed to your recipient. SMTP really has a security flaw there. Now, SPF allows the owner of an internet domain to use a special format of DNS text records to specify which machines are authorized to transmit email for that domain. So there is no way that you can send a mail under the name of BillGates@Microsoft.com if you don't have a Microsoft.com mail server that has the ability and has been cleared as a mail server that has the right to send mail in name of Microsoft.com. So the more that companies will use SPF, I think that this really can be an answer to spam. So I hope this will expand in the next few months. Okay, so that's for the network techniques that are used in Spam Assassin. Let's continue a really small chapter on the installation because, okay, the installation is not something I can just explain here. It's not that complicated, but the configuration is still something you really have to see in a document or a lot of documents about installing Spam Assassin on your mail server. But for me, I have a little mail server of my own for family and friends. I use Postfix, which is open source. I use Cyrus IMAP, which is open source. I use Squirrel Mail as a webmail interface, which is, of course, open source. And I use now the lovely filter, which is Spam Assassin, which is, of course, open source. Now, the installation on a Debian server is very simple. I installed Spam Assassin through the Debian repository, and I just adapted my postfix in a little way that it would route my mail first through a script, and that script first reads, takes in the mail and then gives it to Spam C. And if Spam C recognizes the mail as spam, it will be delivered to a little spam box on my mail account. If it is not spam, it is directly delivered to my inbox. And that is very important. I'm not deleting spam. I'm just having it delivered into a little folder. Once in a month, I will look into that folder to see if I accidentally didn't delete mail I didn't want to delete. And for the rest, I'm not bothered with the mail at all. But first, for the tests, I wanted to get more spam than I already have. I wanted to get tons of spam. I wanted to, for this test, have a lot of spam. So what I did was I just made a phony email and I got myself a free DNS record, a dynamic domain, and I made myself a little honey@really.homelinux.org email address, and I had it aliased to my private mail. So when my little experiment is done, I'm just going to give up on that domain and that mail address. And so all the spam will bounce. This is not really nice to do because it will generate more spam in the world. But hey, I had to test my new spam assassin, so I was forced to do it. What I did was I just subscribed that mail address to quite a few adult sites because they state that your email will not be used for spam. Yeah, right. That's the first thing I think they will do. I got myself inscribed into a lot of websites where you can get free games by email, where they state as well that we value your privacy, so your information will stay absolutely private. Oh yes, it will. And I got myself involved in free stock info. I've put the mail address on YouTube, everything I could do to invoke some spam traffic, and by God, I got a lot of spam in the next 2 weeks, because they will not immediately send you spam, because then you will know which site was responsible for giving you spam. They will wait a few days, a week, and then they will hit you with everything they can think of. So yes, that that worked. So I got a lot of spam, and I could see what the spam assassin was doing. Now, what I did was, in the configuration, I just whitelisted a lot of my friends, because in a whitelist, you explicitly say, then, don't test this mail, this is a friend, this will give score minus 100, it can go way through. You can whitelist complete domains, you can blacklist domains and emails, of course. You can say what the required score needs to be. The default is 5, I lowered it to 3, and that is working out very good for me. Then you have the scores itself. You can you have the symbolic test names. For example, one of the symbolic test names is drugs_erectile. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. I can think you are smart enough to figure that out. That gives a score of 1.5, I think. You have date_in_future. You have subject_drug_gap, stuff like that. And you can, if you want to, you can get those scores higher for those specific mails. I know I don't want drug mail from anybody, so I really notch up the scores for those. Normally nobody will mail me stuff about Viagra, and if I need it, I can always kick out the config drugs_erectile out of my configuration, and I can receive it back again. For example, you have a symbolic test name Microsoft_executable. Now, I gave this a 5.0 because on Linux, why would anyone send me an executable? Not even zipped. So that one goes directly in the spam folder, and so on and so on. You can configure that configuration of Spam Assassin really well. If you're doing it on a little mail server for some friends, for yourself, then you will be quickly done. The default is very good. If you are going to use it for a large company, then you really have to go through a lot of manuals of spam assassin and spam filtering as a whole, because this is really, really difficult, difficult art. Now, the negative aspects about this software. Okay, was that clear enough? Nothing, in my opinion. The offer, well, Spam Assassin was created by Justin Mason. You have a lot of maintainers. I see Theo van Dinter, Duncan Findlay, Sidi Markovitz, Daryl Ashia, Michael Parker, Daniel Quinlan, and Malt Stretz. There are, in my opinion, a lot of more people really working on Spam Assassin, but those are the actual maintainers. Some tips. The first time you use Spam Assassin, use it in debug mode, -D, just to see for yourself which test it is performing. You can see immediately in real time or in backlog which tests it had done, and so you can figure out for yourself which scores you have to make higher or lower. In my case, for example, with the debugging on, I saw that my Perl DNS resolving modules weren't working. So I first had to install those DNS tests for it to do correct DNS resolving tests. When you practice with Spam Assassin, yes, if you do it in a company, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm still going to do it. Don't delete mails. Put them in a separate spam folder so you can always recur to that spam folder and have it purged every 30 days of every spam that is older than 30 days. Also, do it first on yourself and a few guinea pigs, just to get the hang of it. That's evident. The availability, it's completely operating system independent. It's available on Windows, Mac OS X, BSD, all sorts of Linux and Unix, so you don't have any apology for not using this on your servers. The latest release is 3.1.8, and you can get it at www.spamassassin.org. The license is the artistic license and the Apache license 2.0. Now, how can you support this? You can get involved in the project. If you are a programmer and you know a lot about mail servers and or spam detection or linguistic heuristics and stuff like that, really, become part of the team. Go to the website of Spam Assassin and just see what you can do for them. They accept all sorts of volunteers. It's really a big project. You can help out on the wiki. They have a very nice wiki, very good documentation. It could be a bit more elaborated. I really had to search a bit through the wiki to get the right information. I had to find some other how-tos on Spam Assassin. There's a really good book on O'Reilly if you want to. So the wiki could help some, could need some help. And you can help with the distributed documentation. Get the manual better, make the manual better if you want to. So help them out. That's the best way you can support this beautiful spam filtering application. Some listener feedback. I got quite a few good reactions on NextQuiz, mostly from the NextQuiz community, from the NextQuiz players, from the hardcore blasters. They really love their game. It's really nice to see that they're not just players. They really love the fact that it's an open source game and they play it, I think, too much for their own good. So I got quite a few good reactions on that one. One listener even helped spreading the word about this podcast. That was Lista. Quote, "I discovered your podcast and now I am downloading every episode. So keep up the good work. I've added SourceTrunk to netvibes.com's ecosystem, so when someone searches for Linux, they can find it. Regards, Lista." I don't even know if Lista is a he or a she, but anyway, thank you for adding me to NetVibes. I really should be doing stuff like this myself, but I'm such a klutz at getting the word out about my podcast. I'm really thankful for the fact that some listeners are doing it for me. Thank you, really. Also, the same listener warned me about the fact that my site was being spam-botted. So I got a lot of comments that were completely generated by spam bots. I've put a little end to that by putting a little capture on the comments. So when you want to post a comment now, you just have to resolve a little question like, what is 5 + 2? Most of the time you can find that answer for yourself without using your calculator. But spam bots really have a tough time doing this. So thank you again for letting me know that I was being spam botted. Okay, let's wrap it up. Leave your comments on SourceTrunk.com or mail me directly via SourceTrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with a very striking Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant, what do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not saying out loud, Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey like Tito's, Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, with big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. like you. Code Monkey, hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code Monkey, offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.